Good morning. How are you all this morning? Pray that you all had a wonderful week. It's always a blessing to be with you all. We began our series called The Focus Factor, and we will continue with that on today. These are things that we, as a church body, as we transition, and us individually in our homes and our families and even in our personal lives, that we should be focusing on. And so this is the Focus Factor series. If you would, indulge me with the word of prayer, and we will get right down to business. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to be here on this morning. We thank you, Father God, for all those under the sound of my voice that you allowed to make it here safely. We pray right now for those who are out, oh God. We pray right now that you would continuously bless us and continuously grow us as a body, a local body of Christ, for your glory, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that you have allowed us to be here on this morning. And I ask right now that you hide me behind the cross so that I might not be seen, but that you may be heard. Holy Spirit, take the wheel. Take it and do what you would have to do, O God. Let this fall on open ears, O God, and let us sit attentively as to what you would have us to say and do. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we will be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I will ask that all who is physically able, if you could stand for the reading of God's word, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's a continuance from last week, so we will be looking at verses 17 and 18, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, and it reads as follows. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Thank you. You may be seated. For our time allotted this morning, this will be part two of the subject, What Are You Looking At? Part two of the subject, What Are You Looking At? In Matthew chapter 14, it begins the chapter with the death of the infamous John the Baptist. If you would recall a little bit about it, Herodias, Philip's wife, wanted the head of John the Baptist. And so his time had come where it's time for him to catch his demise. And so we know that when John was imprisoned, he sent word to our Lord as to say, "Are you the one?" Ask him, is he the one that I've been preaching about, the one whom I've had the liberty to baptize? Is he the one? And it goes on to say that Herodias says that she wants his head on a platter. And when her daughter danced before the king, she got her wish. John the Baptist's demise came by the beheading and his head served on a platter. And then you move into the chapter and it picks up in verse 13 where Jesus feeds 5,000. He feeds the 5,000 and the scripture says that he used five loaves and two fish. And when he uses the five loaves and two fish to feed the 5,000, scripture ends in that portion of scripture that those who ate were about 5,000 men and women and children. So history would say that it was about 25,000 to be exact, that God, our Lord Jesus Christ, did an infamous miracle in turning 5 loaves of bread and 2 pickle fish into a meal for a crowd of around 25,000. But then in verse 22 of chapter 14 of Matthew, it picks up and it says that immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he dismissed the crowds, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain to pray by himself. And when evening had come, he was there alone. But the boat, this is what we want to look at. The boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. It says here that it was the fourth watch of the night. The Romans had a time frame set up that there were 4 watches during the night. This was the fourth watch that would precede that it was between the hours of 3 and 6 a.m. It was the fourth watch of the night, and then Jesus begins to go out to them where they were. He didn't take a lifeboat. He didn't ride a jet ski. He just did what he did as Lord, as God, and walked out on the water. Scripture says that as he began to walk in the night, the winds and the waves were billowing and all the storm was going on. And then they see the silhouette coming towards them. And one of them says, "It is a ghost." They thought that it was a ghost because no man humanly can ever walk on water. And so then Peter says to him in answer, said, "Lord, if it is you," after our Lord said, "It's me," he said, "if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so our Lord said, "Come, come." And then in verse 30, it says this, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" It is here that Peter had asked our Lord, "Let me come out and walk with you on the water." When that happened, Peter got out of the boat, set his eyes on the Lord, and began to walk. But then the scripture text says in verse 30 that when he saw the wind, he began to sink because he was afraid. So here is my big idea for this morning. I believe that this serves as a great example to us of how important it is that we must diligently work hard to keep our focus on the right things in the midst of those trying storms of life and transitional changes that God is inevitably working for our greater good and his ultimate glory. That illustration there says that when he saw the wind, it is the fact that when he took his eyes off of the Lord, i.e., he changed his focus to the circumstances around him instead of keeping his focus on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this has always been the experience of the servants of God. Paul himself had probably lost his family, his parents' home, all when he confessed that a Nazarene was the prophesied Messiah and his Lord and Savior. But of course, he most likely remembered that as a young believer, he read much about the life of a man chosen by God by the name of Moses. how Moses had survived Egypt and all the opportunities for sin as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, how he was kept from lust, how he was kept from covetousness. I will tell you this. It is that he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt. It was because he was looking ahead to his promised reward. How did he do it? You might ask this, but he did it simply by faith. It was by faith he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger at all, it was by faith that he preserved all because he kept his focus on him who is invisible. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27, it says this. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Verse 27 says, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. Here it is. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses kept his eyes on the king. Moses kept his eyes on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, even though the circumstances around him wasn't weighing in his favor. But that didn't disturb him. Why? Because he kept his eyes focused on him who is invisible. He was not overwhelmed by pyramids. He was not overwhelmed by palaces or the wonders of Egypt. But Moses kept his focus on him who is invisible. And so, Paul himself, who saw some real affliction, afflictions that he stated in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, where he says five times he was beaten by the Jews with 39 lashes. Three times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. Three times he was shipwrecked. He spent a night and a day floating at sea, and this was literally probably on a wooden plank from the shipwreck. And then he was thrown into prisons many times over. But I say to you on this morning, and you think that we have trouble? But he says to Timothy these words, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. This is truth. Peter goes on to say, don't think that this is strange, that something strange is happening to you. But here, and yet, Paul says, as Moses did, that it is all possible to make it through when we stay focused on him who is invisible. That's what we must do. And so as we come to our text on this morning, we pick it up in verse 18 where we left off. And Paul says here, he says, as we look, stop right there. As we look, he says, you see that he says that the only way that we can endure is to put the spiritual over the physical, is to put the future over the present. And this is encompassed in this Greek phrase, as we look. Now that's the key to all of it. As we look. Paul is saying here that as long as you look, as long as we fix our gaze in the right place, on the right thing, i.e. our focus is on the right one, we can and will endure. We must constantly be looking at him who is invisible instead of what is going on around us. And so the question is, what are you looking at? What is your gaze on? What are you fixing your focus on? What are you looking at? As we look, we should be fixing our focus on Christ, no matter what we go through. There are many things that you will go through in this life. And don't think that is strange, because it's going to happen. When growth begins to come, there has to be changes. And when changes begin to take place, there will be a little bit of pain. There will be a little bit of anguish. But we should not be focusing on the wound as much as we should be focusing on the one. Christ is the one. As we look, we should be focusing on the one. But not only does he say as we look, he goes on and he says, as we look, not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. You see, here's the point of it all, that if we are going to be able to focus on where God is taking us, Living Hope, Paul says that we cannot focus on what we see in the experience, because the things that we see in the experience, he says here that they're transient. They're transient. For the things that are seen are transient. Transient. He says that they are temporary. These are temporary things that happen to us. If you fall and break your arm, they put a cast on it. Don't focus on the cast. Focus on the fact that the cast is there to renew your arm. So don't focus on the cast. Focus on what's going on underneath the cast. What's going on? There is a healing that is taking place. There is a new growth that is taking place. And we have to focus on that and not focus on the cast. Why? Because it is temporary. Temporary means that it's transient. Transient means, here it is, it's encompassed. It's the same word that we would know as it being temporary, means that it's encompassed to time. To time. Everything has time stamped on it. If it's not eternal, then it is stamped with time. And so that's what Paul is saying here. He says, don't focus on the things that we see, because they are engulfed in time. Over time, the car that you drive will break down. Over time, the body that you have will begin to decay. Over time, the things that you have will begin to go away. Over time, this church that we have will begin to be gone. Over time, the new place where we are will begin to be made new. Over time, there will be changes. But those are the things that we can see. And just because in this time we've seen some changes and some challenges take place in our life as Living Hope Community Church as a body, Do not set your fixed gaze there. We should be focusing on the eternal. We should be focusing on the eternal, not the things of time, not the things that will fade away, but focusing on God, focusing on the eternal things, because as long as our focus is there, we can make it. We can make it. John Owen said this. He said, "Herein would I live, herein would I die. Herein would I dwell in my thoughts and affections, to the weathering and consumption of all the painted beauties of this world, unto the crucifying of all things here below, until they become dead unto me and deformed things, no suitable way for affectionate embraces." What John Owen is saying here is, I don't put my arms around things that will be dead in a while. I don't look at the things that I see and focus my gaze there, because they are nothing to me. He says, I do not embrace them with affectionate embraces. What I look at is the fact that they will be gone. They are only used as tools. They are only used as transportation. And there is a bigger picture here for us to focus on. That's all he's saying. And so he says, don't focus on the things which are governed by time, because the things which are governed by time must become and is formed in order for me to stay focused on the eternal things. That's all. Don't be focused on the temporal things, because over time they will be gone and they will only be used as an avenue for greatness. Not only that, Paul says also, he says, for the things that are seen are transient, they're temporal, they're engulfed in time, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The things that are unseen are eternal. You see, it's like this. In order for us to make it through our season of growth and transitional changes, which are ultimately working for our greater good, for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as he says here in verse 17, here we must see the invisible and look beyond our outward surfaced issues. By doing that, we must place our God-given gift of faith in the eternal God who is moving the pieces across this chessboard of life for one purpose, in order that he will get the glory. That is all. That is it. And that is where our focus should be. He is our help. It is in Christ who is our strength. And he is the giver of our eternal rewards of living a godly life that has been perfectedly ordained here on earth. He has perfectedly ordained certain things to happen for us in order to make us grow into what he wants us to be. Miss Vera, you may think that cancer didn't have some type of effect. But I can tell you what it had a greater purpose for you to help somebody else get through their situation. How else would we be ever to help somebody else if we don't understand the growth that God is taking us through? So we should embrace these certain things because God has a greater purpose for our focus than not to be on them, but to be on Him who is invisible. And so the one thing that we must stay focused on is our own future glorification with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is not our home. Our life is hidden in the heavenlies with Christ, in Christ, and that is where our focus should be. Focus on where you will be, not where you are. If we focus as a church, if we focus as a body as to where we know God is taking us, that will help us to get through the situations that we're going through now. Because we know that God has a greater purpose for us. We know that God is going to use us in this little city of Ocala, Florida, to be on the map to do what God has called us to do. That's to help people. It's to love people. It's not to love a certain type of people who we may think should be Christians, or because they might not look like a Christian to you because we have a certain mindset of who a Christian is. No, we are called to love people. We are called to love people of the body of Christ no matter what they look like. We are called to love sinners a lot enough to give them the gospel no matter what they look like to you. We must focus on Christ. And when we focus on Christ, we will see that only Him is worthy to break the seals of the books and to call for Himself a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation. And we should be loving people. Many of us, we've gone through some changes because certain people don't think certain people look the way that they should think they should look. But I'm here to tell you that in order for us to move forward when we get over there into our new place, God is going to send us people. And they might not look like what you think they look like. But God says that they're my people. God says that they're people to be loved by you because that's what I called you to do. And we should be focused on that. Because the more that we understand the situations that we're going through and the hurts and the growth that we're dealing with, that will help us to love people. I'm here to tell you, with my life and my background, I know how to love people. Because I've been in the trenches where some of these people have been. I've loved on people even though they were my family members and their lifestyle wasn't going along with what I thought it should be. Do you stop loving a child because your child begins to do what you don't think they should do? You're still going to love that child. But it seems as though we only do that when it's only our family members. Well, I'm here to tell you, your family members who you think are family members by blood, your blood means nothing. Your family members are the blood with the blood of Christ. That's your family members. And that's who we are called to love. Don't worry about an outward appearance. We should worry about our hearts. We should worry about our focus. We should worry about where God is taking us. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Colossians, Paul says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things are that on above and not on things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." And verse 4 says, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Focus on our future glorification. Here it is. We're already there. That's the irony of it. That's the truth of it. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. I had the liberty yesterday. A great friend of mine who is a minister of a big church in Orlando. One of my best friends. And he has some theological things that he's always dealing with me about and asking me questions and things like that to that nature. And yesterday we were sitting down. He has a little girl like Chloe, and we try to get together a lot. And both of our wives were working, so we went to Chuck E. Cheese yesterday over in my neck of the woods and let the girls play. And as we were sitting down, he asked me a couple of questions. But one of the things that he asked me, he says, "You know, I believe that that God has created other beings here on earth, and I mean other beings out there and stuff like that right there." And I asked him, I say, "Well, what is your basis for that?" And he said, "I'm going to be honest, I just don't have no biblical basis." I say, "Well, let me help you with something, bro. I believe in aliens. I sure do." He said, "You do?" I say, "Yeah." I say, "But you know what my biblical basis is? My biblical basis is the fact that I see aliens every day." I said, "I'm an alien. If you're a Christian, you're an alien. Guess why? Because the Bible tells me so." Here's the point. The point is, bro, I told him, this is not your home. This is not our home. Our home is hidden in Christ, in God. That's what the Bible says. And guess what? You see these bodies that we have? This ain't a real body to us. We're inside of this body. Our spirit is in here. To be honest with you, I don't know what you really look like. But I believe in aliens. And yes, I'm here to tell you on this morning, we should be focused on that. Focused on our future glorification with Christ. Focused on the fact that we're not here. Focused on the fact that we're only here for a purpose, and that purpose is to do God's will according to his great pleasure for his glory. Focus on that. And not only that, but we should stay focused also on our rich inheritance in Christ. Stay focused on our rich inheritance in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 says it like this. Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Here it is, "to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 6 says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." Peter says that the trials that we are going through are necessary. They're necessary. if you're going through trials in your home and you are a Christian, if he has caused you to be born again, it's necessary. You have to look at it as being necessary. If you can't pay your bills, there's a reason for it. It's necessary. If you can't make it through and it seems like all the walls are closing in on you, it's necessary. And so it is also for us as Living Hope, as the changes we're going through, as everything God has us going through, it's necessary. Why? Because we have to focus on our rich inheritance in Christ rather than focus on our circumstances. You know who's saying this right here? This is the same Peter that asked to walk out on the water. And as long as he kept his focus on the Lord, he walked on that water. But soon as he took his eyes off the Lord and put his eyes on the wind and the waves, on the circumstances and the storm that was going on around him, he began to sink. He began to sink. Who else better to come back and write those words? He says, I know because I've been there. He says, I know because I tried to walk on water and then I took my eyes off of it. But now I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that when your wind and your waves begin to go on around you, when your boat begins to go up and down in those waves, he says, focus on your rich inheritance in Christ. But finally, we must focus on our rich inheritance in Christ. We must focus on our future glorification with Christ. But we must also stay focused on Christ himself. Focus on Christ. Focus on the King. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says this. He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Peter says again in verses 8 and 9 of 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Verse 9, he says, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, he says here that you must focus on the invisible. You must focus on the eternal. You must focus on Christ. He says, you have not seen him, but you believe. He says, you have not seen him, but you rejoice. Focus. Focus. And so Paul says that when we focus on our glorification with Christ, when we focus on our inheritance with Christ, and when we focus on Christ himself, he says that we can say with him, as he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he says this, he says, we are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. He says, when we focus on these things, when we focus on the unseen things, when we focus on the invisible, on the internal, he says, we are not destroyed. We are not crushed. We have not been forsaken because our focus is where it needs to be. So, Living Hope, the point of this whole message is this, is that as we transition to where God is taking us and what he is doing in this season of transition, we must stay completely focused on Christ. It's simple. Completely focused on Christ. And so I say to you on this morning that if you forget my message, please remember my story. There was a poor girl who served a rich family. And on holidays, she prepared food for them to go out and so they can spend the day together and have a picnic. But on this particular day, they left her home to do chores. And so before she went home in to do the chores, she sat out by the water and sat in the grass on a beautiful day just to enjoy the sunshine that God had given her. And as she sat down in the grass, she realized that there was a shadow that overcame her. And when that shadow overcame her, she looked up and she saw a fancy, well-dressed, beautiful little girl standing over her. And the little girl standing over her looked down at her and asked her, "Do you know who I am?" To which the poor little girl said, "Yes, I know who you are." She said, "The family and all of those, they talk about you and your family all the time." And she said, "Yes." The rich girl says, "Do you see that big house, the biggest house up on that hill over there? That's my family's house." And then she said, "Do you see that boat, that yacht over there on the water, the biggest yacht out there on that water?" She says, "That's my daddy's yacht." To which she said, "My daddy is rich, and he just came home from a business trip." And she said that, "You see this beautiful dress that I have on? My daddy brought this home for me, and he bought me 12 more just like it." She looked down and said, "Do you see these beautiful shoes that I have on? My daddy brought me these shoes to go with this dress, and he bought me 12 more pair just like it." And then the rich girl went on and on and on about her daddy. Then the poor girl, she couldn't take it anymore. To which she stopped her in her tracks and she said, "Well, my daddy is rich too." And the rich girl said, "Yeah, if your daddy is rich, what does your daddy own?" And the poor girl looked at her and said, "Well, you see that hill over there that your daddy's house is on? That belongs to my daddy." She said, "You see that water out there that your daddy's boat is on? That belongs to my daddy too." She says that, "My father is rich in houses and land, and he holds the wealth of the whole world in his hand." And the rich girl looked at her and said, "Well, if your daddy is all of that, why are you dressed so bad?" To which the poor girl said, "Well, you have to excuse my appearance right now because I haven't made it home yet." She said, "When I get home, I got new shoes waiting on me." She said, "When I get home, I got a new robe waiting on me." You see, the point of this story is the fact that the poor girl, though it looked like she was poor, she kept her focus on the fact that she wasn't home yet. She kept her focus on the fact of who her daddy was. And so I'm here to tell all of you, no matter what you're going through, keep your focus on Christ. It doesn't matter if you look like you're poor right now. Keep your focus on Christ. And so on this morning, I want to leave you with these words. The words that come out of the Message Bible, which is the verse that we have preached this morning, and it says it like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "So we are not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There are far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today and gone tomorrow. But the things we cannot see now will last forever." So I say to you this morning, what are you looking at? Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come to you once again, thanking you and praising you for what you've allowed us to hear on this morning. I ask right now, Father God, that you would let this word go forth and that we are able to understand what you would have for us in this season. I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, oh God, will just continuously trust in you, will continuously keep our focus on you, will continuously allow for us to do the right things by helping somebody else and loving on one another. We hope, oh God. We know, oh God. We trust, oh God, that you are doing a great thing for us in this season. And yet we may be small. Now we know that all things work together for our ultimate good. It is for your glory. It is for your honor. It is for your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.